Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson podcast show. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. I am excited today because I have one of the most gifted musicians on the side of the Mississippi River. Rod, say hello to my audience, man.
How you doing, my brother? How's everybody doing?
Man, it's so good to have you. Look, you have done so much for the music business and just the industry. I might have to back up into this interview, and I do want to thank you, first of all, for just giving me a couple of minutes of your time. But the first thing I want to say, though, man, your three-piece band, you guys rock, dude.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
I mean, I know sometimes you guys add extra pieces. Now, every once in a while, you might add a keyboard player or a percussionist, correct?
Correct.
You want to give them a shout-out?
Yeah. Well, the band is called Steel Rod. Myself, Johnny Reyes on the drums, Whit Petrell on bass, and sometimes my dad, Rod Pantoja Sr., will play percussions. We've been a band for 22 years.
Wow.
So he started with me, and, you know, getting a little older, so he's backing out, retiring a little bit, but
yeah,
you know, he'd been there the whole time with me.
Man, that is so cool, man. Yeah. Father and son working together.
Absolutely.
Man, I want to back into this. So just tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
So I grew up in Baldwin Park, California. Uh-huh. I actually started as a drummer.
Oh, okay.
But growing up living in apartments didn't fly too well. Couldn't afford, there was this before electric drum sets.
Yeah. Right.
My uncle, who's about 4.5 years older than me, was in like heavy metal bands. And so his band used to rehearse at our house. And I just kind of like, you know, observe and picked it up here. I'm self-taught, never took a lesson in my life. It was just like observe, you know, and, you know, with my dad turning me on to the music he turned me on to, my uncle turning me on to the stuff, you know. I mean, I listened everything from, give you my musical background real quick. The first band I could remember my dad force feeding me was Tower of Power. That was like, this is the stuff. I wanted to be an R&B funk drummer.
Yeah.
Average white band, Steely Dan.
Right.
That was my stuff. And then I got into Black Sabbath and the heavier metal stuff. But because of what I do is in a cover band, all that variety of music definitely has kept me playing and working for professionally 27 years.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So so in actuality, because you have broadened your horizon, and your dad and your uncle got you listening to everything, you're able to do all these things as far as the different style of music. That
Absolutely.
Man, that is so cool. Now, do you have any other siblings or anything that plays?
I have a younger sister. She's about a year and a half younger than me, but she's corporate. She's corporate work.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so the music button never bit her, huh?
It's funny because with the exception of my dad, I'm not really from a musical family.
I mean,
it's just me and my dad, you know.
Okay. Tell my audience, what's your primary instrument? Because I know you play a few things.
Oh, I'm a guitar player. A singing guitar player.
Yeah, and because I know you dabble with the piano and everything too, correct?
Oh, no. That's the one instrument I've not... No, that's you. You the man at that. I play bass. I can play bass. I can play drums. But guitar is definitely my forte. That's what people know me.
Okay. What was your first musical gig that you had? How old were you?
Oh, man, I could tell you. May 9th, 1991. Wow. I was 15 years old, and my first gig was at the Roxy in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That was my very first gig, and I remember, like, it was the quickest half an hour ever. But it was fun, like that, you know. I mean, I did, like, little talent show before that, just, you know, singing. I remember singing like Billie Jean in a talent show as a little.
Oh, man. We're back. Oh. We had a little small technical difficulties. But anyway, I was talking about your thing that you do on Thursdays, your City Lights restaurant lounge thing. You got something going on.
Yeah, we it's the 10 after, we call it 10 after 10. It's $10 after 10 and $10 drink specials, and it's all fun. Yeah, we just do two sets of almost all requests.
Oh.
You know, we have fun with the audience. In 22 years, we've never done a set list.
Is that right?
We've never done, maybe once, because we had like 45 minutes that we had to just kill. We had like a mental set list. Like, all right, let's definitely throw in this. Let's definitely throw in that. But we've never, in 20 plus years, we've never written down a set list.
Dang.
Because you just never know, you know. We're such a, our variety is pretty gnarly that we can play all heavy metal club if we had to. We can do a Spanish type club and keep them the R&B, the 80s.
Yeah.
We can just, you got to read, you got to read that crowd.
You got to read the crowd.
You know, and sometimes it's a hit and sometimes it misses. And sometimes we underestimate what will work.
Right.
Like that I think for a cover band, that's sometimes that's on a cover band's Achilles heel sometimes, is don't underestimate the audience.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be times you think something's going to work and it don't.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
That's actually, we have arguments about that all the time, because it's like, man, why did we play that song? Well, the bar owners will get happy because, you know, you keep that dance floor packed a little too long, they ain't buying drinks.
Right.
You know, it's still a business.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's the way it goes, too. As a matter of fact, you guys use other things. It's called a spotlight on different bands. You guys do like a tribute thing every once in a while.
Yeah, so with cities, that's another thing we incorporated, was spotlighting an artist like once a month. The first one we did was the Beatles, which is a hard one because that's almost sacrilege. You mess up the Beatles,
right?
You know, people are gonna look at you sideways.
Yeah.
And then recently we just did Santana.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then the next one, which will be January 20th, which is actually my birthday. We're doing Led Zeppelin.
Oh man, that's gonna be nice.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
That's gonna be nice. So you guys did the Beatles, huh?
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh man.
It actually worked out pretty good, but we really needed five people to do that.
Yeah.
Because those voices, gotta have those extra voices. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Man, well that's so cool. That is so cool. Now I know you got some things that's coming up, because I do want to promote the stuff that you got coming up in the last couple of days. You guys going to be over at Fantasy Springs, I believe.
Yeah, so as of, this is going to be our third weekend. We got a residency every Friday and Saturday up on the 12th floor. It's called Steel Rod After Dark. And it's basically, it's a 2021, going to be 2022 take on like a laid back Rat Pack kind of vibe. You know, suited and booted.
Right.
All acoustic. It's an acoustic show with live drums, though. And it's not quiet. It's not a quiet show.
Okay.
It's a cool vibe. Good, you know, specialty drinks. And, you know, we're just trying to make it happening, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, holidays. Like, we'll be there this weekend, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. Show must go on.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, that's interesting, man. And I know we played up there once a couple of times before, and we ran into you guys. You guys put on an awesome show. So now you guys gonna be on the 12th floor, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, see.
Every Friday, Saturday.
Man, look, if you guys haven't heard, my friend, you guys got to check them out. Awesome band. You guys are, man, I'm telling you guys, an awesome band. Look, I just wanna ask you this. Now, do you guys write any original material?
Our drummer's actually a very good writer. That's not my thing. I tried. I mean, I can, I guess, if I had to.
Yeah. But
my thing, let's see, how can I put this without sounding stupid? I think as a youngster writing, you know, you want to make it, per se. You know, you want to play all, you know, the Hollywood thing was the thing. You wanted to try to make a record and do all that. But, you know, my stuff just wasn't, people were not kicking down the door to hear my stuff. They just weren't. I tried and tried and tried. I just wasn't up to snuff. But I love to play. I'm a musician. I'm a player. So when the whole thing of being in a cover band came about, it was work. I worked a lot. And because of my book, I know a lot of songs. So I was able to keep myself busy for years and years and years. So that was I got to fulfill the love of playing, and I just got to make a career out of it. I had to get smart with it a little bit because I didn't, you know the term struggling musician.
Right.
I didn't want to be that guy. The other guys, they write. I know Johnny, our drummer, he writes all the time. He plays piano. He writes for himself. More just stuff. He's going to put his own stuff and he'll put it out there like on Spotify and Apple, you know, stuff like that.
Okay. As a matter of fact, that's what I wanted to segue into, because a lot of my audience, they listen to this and they want to know about the business part of things. So your work habits, talk to my audience a little bit about that.
Well, my personal work habits is if you walked in my house, there's a guitar in every corner of the house. You just never know. I'm looking at my record collection, probably over 1,100 records. Music is what I, besides my daughter, my music is everything. So, you know, if I hear something, I'm like, okay, I gotta learn. My thing is, we do so much different material that I just kind of, I listen to the audience. Like, people come up, man, you know, you guys ever do this? No, but let me put that in my mental Rolodex. And I'll just, you know, people will be surprised the songs we'll learn, especially as a trio.
Right.
You know, like, we'll do Earth, Wind, and Fire or Tower of Power, or, you know, they'll be like, what? You know, we do a lot of Prince. We do Michael Jackson. And, you know, and as a guitar player, I got to fill up all those spots.
Right.
You know, I got to do the key part. I got to do the horn line. You know, I got to do the rhythm, you know. But as far as work ethic, man, just it's the more you do it, the more, you know, it's a business. So if you're going to sell yourself, you can't come in half-stepping. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to come in correct.
Okay. Yeah. I got you, because I guess the thing is, you really got to know your record and know your songs.
Yeah.
And you got to respect them.
Anybody can put a band together and get a gig. I mean, that's easy.
Wow.
But maintaining a gig, that's where the key is. You know as well as I know, we've had residencies that we've had a long time.
Right.
And, you know, we've played all over the world. I mean, we played in Japan, we played in Europe, we do cruises. You know, we're actually leaving on a cruise at the end of February, going to Puerto Rico and Bahamas, you know. And that's work ethic.
Man,
you gotta put that, you gotta do your homework. Gotta put those hours in. You know.
Man, see that's what my audience need to hear, because see, I was taught this. Every time you sit at your instrument, you put your best foot forward, whether it's 10 people in the audience or 10,000 people.
Absolutely.
Now, that's what I was taught. And what you just said, Rod, is powerful, because there are a lot of young musicians, they will say, oh man, it's not too many people in the crowd, I'm out of here.
We live in the YouTube generation.
Yeah.
Where you see these amazing kids that can play circles, but you put them in front of people, that's a different ball game. You know?
Right.
That thing, to me, some of my best gigs have been in front of 10 people.
Right.
Because, like you just said, if you come in half-stepping, you want those 10 people to tell 10 more people to tell 10 more people, and before you know it, there's 250 people in front of you.
Right.
Because you came correct on those for those 10 people. You know.
Yeah.
One thing, I mean, there are times, I mean, you know, we've been musicians for years. There have been times you'll definitely just you're phoning it in. It's, you know, it could be one of those days where,
yeah,
oh man, I worked all day today, man. I forgot I had this gig. And right. All right, never too much. One more time. All right, here we go. Oh my God. You know, and it just, you'll phone it in sometimes, but you just need that one spark of vibe. There could just be one person filling you and you're like, okay, let's go. And that's all you need. You know, I don't need a big crowd. I love a big crowd, trust me, but I don't need it. I'd rather have 10 people look like they're having the time of their life than 100 people standing there going, you know?
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. I feel you on that because I listen to your band, and what I like about you guys, even with your three-piece, you know, I've heard most of your three-piece things, especially when you guys did the decade things and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You guys listen to your surroundings. Even though it's just three of you, you guys are playing as a unit. Talk to my audience about how important that is to do that.
Oh, you don't have a band if you don't do that. Then you're just three musicians. You're just three musicians that can play.
Right.
But if you don't play together, you know, like, I'm a strong believer that the bass player better listen to the drummer. Like, you know, that's your rhythm section. And me, I could play lead guitar, but I pride myself on my rhythm guitar playing because, you know, it's got to be tight, especially for three guys. The biggest compliment we've been getting this for years, and it's like, man, for three guys, you guys make a lot of noise.
Right, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You guys, I've had club owners like, man, we have 9-piece bands that don't make as much noise as you guys.
Man.
You know, and what I mean by noise is it's big. It sounds big.
Right. It's full.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's you know, you have to listen. You have to listen to one another. You have to. And the thing is, it's like once you get into that groove, it's the gig is so fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're out the groove, that's when it's that's the longest gig.
Right.
On earth. You know, it's, and we've had those nights where, you know, there are all those nights you just can't find it.
Yeah,
it's human, you know, but when you're in that pocket, man, there ain't nothing like it.
Now, have you ever ran into a situation to where you're not quite feeling it because you know where you should be, but the audience, there are a few people that come up to you and tell you how great you guys sounded, and that kind of encouraged you?
Yeah, that happened recently, actually. It was one of those... just one of those nights when you walk out stage like, man, that was boo-boo. And they'll be like, man, I ain't heard you guys sound this good in so long. I'm like, okay, maybe I was in my own head. Maybe,
right.
You know, and it's crazy because there'll be nights where I feel like I just was off, but then I'll hear recordings and I'm like, whoa, we were on fire. What was I thinking? Like, you know, you know, sometimes you too, as a musician, you're hard on yourself sometimes.
Yes.
You know, you'd be like, man, I wish my keys were louder. I wish the guitar was louder. Man, I couldn't hear my vocals. Whoever was running monitors, man, got to turn those up, you know?
Right.
Oh, there's always, you know, always that. But after all these years, man, I just really now I go with the flow and just enjoy the craft, man. I put my work in. Now let me enjoy what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, who was your inspiration on playing guitar?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's really wide. It's huge. But there was a few. So from the rock, heavy metal, I grew up as a heavy metal rock guitar player. So Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath, Ace Frehley from Kiss. My Eddie Van Halen, of course. I mean,
right.
Of course. Yeah. But then, like, going to my dad's house, it was weird because growing up with my parents split when I was a kid, but going every weekend to my dad's, he just had his vinyl collection. So I was like the only 7-year-old who knew who Roy Hargrove was. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, man, what do you listen to? I'm listening to some Jean-Luc Ponty. What? Like, you're 7. You shouldn't be listening to that stuff. But that was my dad. You know, the Steely Dan, all the R&B and funk, you know. Funk, like, I love funk music. To me, is like, if I wasn't doing rock and I was doing original stuff, it would be funk. Because that's my that's just the stuff, like, I love me, like, the Bar K's and Confunction and Zap and, you know, Rick James, of course, you know.
Right.
Mandrill. People will be like, what? Who? And I'm like, oh, just listen. But that broadened my horizons to my playing, because I can be doing this crazy heavy metal thing and I can incorporate like a cool little funk Prince type of scat on the guitar, which is like, well, that's not pretty metal.
I'm like, right. Yeah,
you know. And then I'm Puerto Rican, so I grew up on salsa music. You know, so that Latin stuff, those odd timings and how to lay that pocket, you know, that helped me, you know, with my rhythm totally. But yeah, I mean, and another guitar player, my singing guitar player, big influence was a guy named Terry Kath, who was the original Chicago guitar player.
Okay.
That guy was like Ray Charles and a master guitar player. Like, he had the voice of like a 70-year-old black blues man.
Yeah. And,
but he could play. I mean, Hendrix said, "You the man." When Jimi Hendrix is saying, "You're the man," he's the man.
Right.
Oh, and plus Hendrix, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hendrix is something else. Yeah. That's, I think that's a good thing, man, because, you know, I think we're always inspired by someone. And I think it's the thing to where is, you know, if you're going to learn an instrument, get the best person, you know, that you feel that is qualified to take you and help you to another level. Man. That way you can keep working and you can appreciate it. Because when I'm not gigging, I just love to hear other musicians play, because, you know, that helps me. It, you know, it helps me just to kind of like appreciate things.
Absolutely.
You know,
I always would be like, my day's off. What are you going to do? I'm going to go watch a band.
Right.
Why? Yeah. You just played 6 nights.
Right.
Yeah, but I like to see what's out there.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, I've seen bands that are not, you know, they're starter bands that are not quite up to snuff yet. Yeah. But you'll see something, like you'll catch something, even if it's a song selection.
Right.
You know, there'll be times I was like, whoa. Like, I was watching you guys one time and you guys did like a Hammer song.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Yeah. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And it's definitely like, I like to see people's mindsets on where their catalog is in their head and what they're going to put out. You know, like you guys were doing Messing Around, the song Messing Around.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nobody does that song. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's the stuff I love. Like, you know, because, you know, a lot of people, of course, we all do the Brick House. We all do the Play That Funky Music, White Boys.
And yeah.
The usuals, you know. Yeah. But I like this, you know, and they work. That's why we do them, because they'll always work. You know, man, you know, the running joke is a band doing Mustang Sally or Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
Go play it. I tell people this all the time. You clown on those songs, go play it and see what your crowd does.
Yeah.
It ain't about you. It ain't about you. It's about your crowd.
And right.
Trust me, you start that first riff of Mustang Sally, people lose their mind.
Yeah, that's true.
It's weird. I mean, unless you're playing for a 21 to 25-year-olds, they don't know what that's about.
Right, yeah. But that's true, though. That is really true, because we did some show, where were we, in San Clemente, and then Mustang Sally just...
It kills.
It's like, oh, man. I said, Daniel, do we have to do this song?
Right.
You know? But yeah, no, I get it. But I like what you guys do, because you guys set your goals and then you really go for it. There are a lot of people that don't set goals and they're all over the place.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not putting anybody down.
No.
But I like that you guys do that. You play an important part in that role, correct?
I think I do. I mean, my thing, the three of us as a collective, I think we just decided, look, we're going to be us no matter what, but we're going to play within our means. Like, we're not going to start playing like stuff we're not like this crazy. We're not gonna start doing Celine Dion songs,
right?
Yeah, that's not us. Like, I don't want to play outside our means. It was like doing a lot of the R&B funk stuff, knowing those bands were huge bands. They're, you know, a lot of those bands were 8 to 10 piece bands. Yeah. It's like when we did our first acoustic gig upstairs, Johnny, our drummer, called out Get Down Tonight from Casey and the Sunshine Band. And I was like, really? Okay. and it went over like gangbusters. And then from there, we went into Boogie Nights and people lost their mind. And I was like, because I'm thinking, is this going to work acoustic though? But right. And as a musician and a working band, this is the motto we go by. A good song is a good song, no matter what. It don't matter.
Man, Rod, that's powerful, man, because, you know, see, I was taught this, you know, as a musician. And, you know, I know life changed, life brings about a change, but I always taught this. I was taught, don't try to be something that you're not.
Right.
And you mentioned Celine Dion. As much as I have her stuff, I know that's not my flavor, per se.
Right.
You know, unless we get, you know, a good female vocals out there and I'm doing a show for her, that type of thing.
Exactly.
You know.
There's the job. There's the job aspect of it.
Right.
You know, it's your band.
Yeah, right. So, but what you mentioned was from Casey to Heat Wave, you know, meshing those songs together or just doing that type of music and seeing the crowd respond, that's what your flavor is. Even when you're doing rock or whatever the case may be, you guys are comfortable in what you're doing.
Very. I mean, you have to be, because then you look scared. You know, right. Never let them see you sweat.
Right.
Unless you're working real hard.
Right. See, you know, and that my audience need to hear things like that, because I have you know, people from 13 on up to 100 listen to this show, and some of the knowledge that you're just giving us, man, is just awesome. And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but what advice can you give to some of the younger musicians or even the older musicians on just making a living in the business?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of things. One, you know, the cliche answer would be practice, practice, practice. But it's a business too. My first advice would be is surround yourself with same-minded people, because there's always somebody in a band that's just not on the same page with you. And like Steel Rod started as I think we were a 9-piece band when we started. And we just started chopping it down to eventually a trio. And the thing was, the three of us were so like-minded where, you know, we didn't, there was a lot of motives. Like, we didn't want to push boxes for a living. We put a lot of time into our craft. If we can get to a point where we could do this on a high professional level, why don't we go for it? We were still young. I mean, we're all not old, but I mean, we were in our 20s now.
Right.
We're in our 40s and 50s, but it's like, we're still, I still feel fresh today as I did 22 years ago.
Right.
You know, but surrounding yourself with the right people is always key. Sometimes shut your mouth and listen. Yeah. Listen. Don't be afraid. I'm so guilty of over talking and just not sitting back and listening, you know, because we all got the same goal. So we got to hear each other out. And don't be afraid to try something a little out of your wheelhouse. It was like the R&B, my bass player, some of the R&B stuff when he was younger, he didn't grow up on that. So I go, no, take a listen. And then he got like really into like Rocco from Tower. And he was like, man, this is like, you know, the dig of like a James Jameson, like the real Motown, like, okay. Plays with one finger, but it's fat, you know. Yeah. Learning the neck and learn like just little things, you know. And when you're doing covers, you know, I want to put my little spin on it, but people got to walk out of there recognizing like you put your work in, you know.
Yeah, man, Rod, that I appreciate that so much, you know, because I'm guilty of that too sometimes, over talking. But, you know, I think even with the two bands that I'm playing with right now, I'm always looking at the bigger picture as far as for the band's sake, because you want to keep working.
Right.
You know, and that's, to me, that's one of the key things. If it's going to benefit the band, let's do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want the audience to know that there's something going on the stage with you guys. You know, it shouldn't be that way.
We've had those moments, that's for sure.
Right.
You know, but it's frustration sometimes will kick in, but that's where you really strive. Like, all right, you know, I'm gonna leave the BS outside. Now let's rock it.
Let's rock it.
Because it ain't, yeah. Again, and that's another thing I learned through experience, is it's not about you. It's about your crowd. You wanna play for yourself, stay at home, get your Mac computer, write your own stuff, and knock yourself out all day long. You know, that's cool. That's actually, if I could do that sometimes, I would love to. But, you know, I like cable TV and electricity and, yeah, you know, new guitar strings.
Right.
So, you know, it's a business. And,
yeah,
you know, and another thing is, don't sell yourself short. A lot of bands will sell themselves. They'll take the gig instead of having the zero, and that's fine and all, but you know, you got to know your worth. Definitely know your worth.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it you know, I hate to say it ruins it for the rest of us, but it kind of does.
It does.
You know, and it's like, I totally understand the wanting and the need to play. I get it. But it's show business. It's business.
You right. Know,
you bring the market value down. There you go.
You know what, man, Rod, that is powerful, because the whole thing is this. You know, there are some people I know back in the 80s, I think I was getting like maybe 125 for a show. Okay, here we are, 20 going on 2022. Man. People still want to pay $125 for the band per person.
Yeah.
Come on. You know, but yet everything else has, you know, increased.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll say this, I ain't too cool that I won't do it.
Right.
But it's not smart business. If you know, it's like that thing, you do it once, they're going to expect it every time.
Every time.
And it's like, no, man. Like, we come in with a base pay. It's like, look, this is what we charge. You got it? You don't? Cool. We move on. Like,
yeah.
You know,
the no thing love is, lost. Is
you yeah. But you sometimes, you know, like the saying goes, you get what you pay for.
Right.
You know, and I've seen it. You know, yeah. It's like, oh man, okay. But you know, you know, what did they say? In Ray, he said, you know, you want pennies, you'll get pennies, but you shoot for dollars.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. But you know, that's true though. That's true, because the bottom line is this. I heard one of a pastor say this. He says, if you make yourself valuable, money will chase you. And the thing is, you mentioned about being valuable. That speaks volumes.
Yeah, we learned it. I mean, you learn, you understand, like, you know, you go, you know your fan base, you know the kind of business you're doing for.
Yeah.
Clubs, bars, casinos, what have you. And you know, you gotta sell yourself. You gotta tell them, look, they'll know in the numbers. Like, if I know we're doing poorly, I'm not gonna go ask for a major bump.
Right.
That's just stupid business. But if we're you know, we're comfortable where we're at, but we're killing it, it doesn't hurt to be like, hey man, just like any job.
Right.
You know, you gotta you pull your weight, you should get what you're worth.
Man.
And I think Steel Rod's worth is at a high level right now. And that's why we're got our residency at the casino. They saw it and they're like, you know, hey, you know, that's major. Like, that's major to the fact that we don't play locally in LA, only on Thursday nights at Cities.
Right.
That's it. We don't. Our bass player moved out to by the casino out in India. He moved to Palm Springs.
See,
because it was worth it for him.
And right,
that's what we all want to do. We you know, as you know, 20, 22 years, I think by year 16 or 17, we all decided, okay, we need to figure out how to play smart, not hard.
Yeah, right.
I'd rather make in 3 days what we were doing in 6 days.
Correct.
You know, we talked about those $125 gigs. Again, I ain't too cool to do one. Call me.
Right.
You know, yeah. But if I don't have to,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, I can spend more family time, I'm cool with that. You know?
Yeah. You're right. And that's what I'm saying. And, Rod, man, I appreciate it, man. See, that advice that you have given my audience, I pray to God that they take that and learn from it. Man, I appreciate you so much. I know this Friday and Saturday, is it this Friday and Saturday, you guys are on the 12th floor at Fantasy Springs?
Yes, sir.
That's from 10:30 p.m. to 1:30. Please, if you guys are out in the area and you need the place just to vacation or something, go check out my friend Rod, the band, the Still Rod Band. Go, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, you guys are going to enjoy it, all right? And then those who are going to be local, the Remix Band for New Year's Eve, we're going to be doing something. We're going to make that complete announcement a little later on.
All right.
You guys stay tuned for that. Rod, thank you so much, man. I know I took about an hour of your time.
No worries.
I appreciate you
pleasure.
So much.
My pleasure, brother. Anytime.
All right, man. God bless you, man. And keep the music alive.
Likewise. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right. Merry Christmas, though.
All right, my brother.
All right.